turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. As we come to this chapter, David, after trial upon trial, and difficulty upon difficulty, and sorrow upon sorrow, is now well settled in Jerusalem as the king, enjoying a period of peace. You'll notice that the chapter opens in verse 1, and he's simply sitting in his house. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house. And as he sits there, he's dissatisfied that the ark of the Lord is still in a tent, the tabernacle. He expresses, it's obvious, he expresses a desire to Nathan to build a house for the Lord. Notice verse 1 and 2, "And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, the Lord had given him rest round about all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan, the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And he obviously expresses his idea to build a permanent place for the ark. Nathan thinks it's a good idea, and he encourages David to do so in verse 3. "And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." But later that night, God appeared to Nathan. God revealed to Nathan that it was not God's will for David to build a permanent dwelling place for the ark. And we have record of that in verses 4 through 16. Just notice verse 4 and 5. "And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord." And then through verse 16, we see what he's instructed to tell David. And then in verse 17, we read, "According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David." So Nathan delivers the message unto David. In verse 18, the entire scene shifts. Then, that is after Nathan delivered the message to David, then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said. And then through from that point on through verse 29, we have recorded for us what David said to the Lord. Of course, it is a prayer of David. And it happens, again, it's the result of David receiving this message from the Lord. For the main thought of the message, we want to read verse 27. Again, this is part of his prayer. "For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee." We want to take the thought from, "Thy servant hath found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee." In his heart, to pray this prayer unto thee. This was something more than just a prayer that was formed upon the lips. Something far, far greater. In his heart, to pray. Now the word pray, of course, is a verb. It's an act. David found in his heart do something, to pray. The word prayer, of course, is a noun. In this case, it's what is acted upon. God put a prayer in David's heart, and then David prayed. David acted upon what God put in his heart. Again, this is more than a prayer of the lips, and it's just the opposite of a prayer that would be formed upon the lips. Notice in Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." And then, of course, Jesus quoted this passage in Matthew 15, verse 7 and verse 8. But prayer just found upon the lips, or prayer formed in the mouth, is empty. It's empty. And God is dishonored. True prayer is first formed in the heart and then expressed upon the lips. What we want to do tonight is observe the actions and the prayer of David in this case. And I believe by so doing, we find the type of heart in which prayer is found. Again, our main thought is that thy servant hath found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. So we want to see what kind of heart is it that has prayer in it. First of all, there was a desire for God on David's part. Again, though David was in a time of both personal and secular prosperity, that prosperity did not generate selfishness in him. But rather, he rose above selfishness. He rose above self. And there was a personal interest in the things of the Lord. Again, David's at a time of peace. David's at a time of prosperity. David is now the king. But he still had a personal interest in the Lord. And there was a sensitivity toward the Lord. There was a sensitivity toward the cause and the things of God. There was a personal aspiration. There was a personal yearning, a longing for the Lord. Again, he became dissatisfied that he's thinking, here I am sitting in my house, and the Ark of the Lord, symbol of God's presence, is in a tent. And that bothered him. And there was this personal aspiration for the Lord. And it is in this type of heart that true prayer is found. There was a desire for God. If we have a heart that does not have a desire for God, you can mark it down, there will not be prayer in that heart. A heart that has prayer in it is a heart that has a desire for the Lord. We see, secondly, there was a receiving of the message of God. Nathan delivered the message of God to David. And David received that message. Now, consider the context of that. David had a desire. David had an idea. David had a plan of what he wanted to do in the service of the Lord. He wanted to build a permanent place for the ark. He wanted to build a temple. And there was nothing wrong with David's desire in and of itself. David's desire, his idea, his plan, nothing wrong with it. But God told Nathan to tell David, it's not my plan. It's not in my will for you to do this thing. Though you have a desire to do so, and it is a good desire, it was not in the plan of God. So Nathan's message was a message that would thwart David. But what was David's response? David was not angry. David was not resistant toward the message, nor was he resistant or angry toward Nathan. Prayer is not found in that kind of heart that is angered by the message of God. Prayer is not found in the heart that is resistant to the message of God. So, from David's prayer, we see the spirit in which he received the message of God. And again, David had a heart that received God's message. Even though it was a message that thwarted David's ideas and plans, David had a heart that received the message of God. And it is in that type of heart that you will find true prayer. You will not find prayer in the heart that is resistant to the message of the Lord. But you find prayer in the heart that receives the message of God. God's message sometimes thwarts us. There may not be anything wrong with our plan or our idea, but the message of God comes and says, no. No. Don't want you to do that. And people may protest, well, there's nothing wrong with it. Well, you see, if it's not God's will, there is something wrong with it now. So we find prayer in this heart that receives the message of God. We see, thirdly, there was an impulse on David's part toward God. In verse 17, David has received the message. So did Nathan speak unto David. And what was the response of David? Verse 18, very first word, then. Then. After he has received the message, then went King David in, I believe in the tabernacle, and sat before the Lord. That was his impulse. His impulse was to get into the presence of the Lord. And there is David sitting before the Lord. It's God and it's David. David is in the presence of God. So after hearing the message of God, what was the instinct of David? The instinct of David was to get into the presence of God. That was his compulsion. He was stimulated to enter the house of God and to sit with the Lord, to get with God. Now in our text, notice it is prayer unto thee. Prayer unto thee. There in 2 Samuel 7, verse 27. It's not just prayer. It's prayer unto thee. So David is in the presence of the Lord. What that tells us is that David had a heart that moved him toward God. And it's in that kind of heart that prayer is found. Prayer is not found in the heart that moves away from God. Prayer is not found in the heart that resists God. Prayer is found in the heart that moves toward the Lord. And David, after hearing the message, he moved toward God. And prayer was found in his heart. Fourthly, there was a humility. In verse 18, David went in and sat before the Lord. And he said, so now he's praying. He's praying to God. He's talking to God. Who am I, O Lord God? Who am I, O Lord God? Keep in mind his plan, his idea, his desire has been thwarted. Who am I, O Lord God? As you read on, you see that David realized that the blessings of the Lord upon his life, first of all, were not due to him. He did not merit them. Notice also, he says, "And what is thy house, or my house, that thou hast brought me hitherto?" He knew that the blessings of God were not due to his origin. They were not due to him personally. They were not due to his origin. This humility is also expressed in verse 20. "And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant." Lord, what can... David is just in wonder here that God has been so good to him. And then he adds, "And you know me." You know me. It's an amazing thing when you consider... See, most people, when they say, "Well, the Lord knows my heart," they consider that as a positive, that is, the Lord sees the goodness in their heart. But I believe we need to look at that a different way. Amen. The Lord knows me. And in spite of that, he still blesses. That's grace. That's mercy. That's something that ought to, again, just overwhelm us. That God knows us, and yet he's brought us hitherto. He's poured his blessings upon us. So this was a heart where there was deep humility. And it's in this kind of heart that prayer is found. Prayer is not found in the heart of the proud. Prayer is found in the heart of the humble. A proud heart does not pray. Humble heart. Praise. Fifthly, there was great wonder. Again, there's a tone of wonder in David's prayer. Now, again, verses 18 through 21. "Then went King David in and sat before the Lord." Now that's a picture of worship. That's what we're to do every time we come here. We're to do it at our homes as well throughout the day. We're to sit before the Lord. And we're to speak. And we're to talk to him. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" So there's a tone of wonder. "And this was yet a small thing in thy sight." God blessing David, bringing him hitherto, was just a small thing to God. But not to David. There isn't a blessing that you and I receive that is a small, that should be a small thing in our eyes. Especially when we consider he knows us. "And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come." He's talking about the promises of God to him. "And is this the manner of man, O Lord God?" What he's saying is that this is beyond what man would do. Man wouldn't bless us this way. If man knew who we were, they wouldn't bless us this way. God's not man. And so David is just living in wonder, the amazement of what God has done. And what can David say more unto thee? What he's saying is that there's just not words to express what David was feeling, the marvel, the amazement that was in his heart concerning God's dealings with him. He says, "Language fails me. I don't have the words to express the amazement that's in my heart." So he was deeply touched. and moved by God in his life. This is the type of heart in which prayer is found. It's not found in a heart that's not moved by God. It's not found in a heart that's oblivious to God. Well, that person may pray with their lips, but there's no prayer in their heart. Prayer in the heart, it's in the heart of someone whose heart has been touched by God. As David sits there and David's speaking with God, he's touched by God. He's moved by what God has done in his life. Sixthly, there was the realization of his position as a servant. Again, keep in mind, David is king, but he takes the position of a servant. He doesn't speak to God in his position as a king. He speaks to God in his position as the Lord's servant. He refers to himself as thy servant. Verse 20, last two words, thy servant. Verse 21, very last line, thy servant. Verse 25, about halfway down, thy servant. Verse 26, toward the end, thy servant. Verse 27, we see thy servant. And we see it again in verse 27. So twice in verse 27, thy servant. Verse 28, the last two words, thy servant. Verse 29, again it appears twice, once toward the beginning, thy servant, once toward the end, thy servant. A total of 9 references. Thy servant. Thy servant. The pronoun thy, of course, and is indicative of the fact that he belonged to God. He realized, I belong to God. So he realized that he was God's property. The word servant is a noun, indicative of a position and a purpose. His position in life, even though he was a king, his position in life is thy servant. His purpose in life, thy servant. And no matter what our position in life is, as far as the world is concerned, this is to be our position, thy servant. And no matter what our earthly callings is, this is to be our purpose, thy servant. So David, we hear David say of himself 9 times, thy servant. You see a tone of consecration in David. And it's in this type of heart that prayer is found. David had a servant's heart. And again, it's in that type of heart that prayer is found. Prayer is not found in the heart of the individual who has no desire to serve God, who fights serving God, who dictates to God how they will serve. Prayer is not found in that heart. Prayer is found in the heart of a servant. One who realizes throughout their life, I am God's servant. No matter what happens, I am God's servant. No matter what my earthly calling is or what it might be, no matter what my circumstances are, this is my position before God. I am his servant. This is my purpose in life. His servant. And again, it's in this heart that you can expect to find prayer. Again, someone who fights serving God, they can talk about prayer all they want to, but I guarantee you there is not prayer in their heart. Prayer is in the heart of servant. Seventhly, there was an acknowledgement of God. In verse 19, there's an acknowledgement of God's interest in David. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. David's overwhelmed that God had an interest in him. He acknowledges God's interest in him. Also in verse 19, there's the acknowledgement that God's ways are not man's. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? In verse 20, there's the acknowledgement of God's knowledge of David. For thou, Lord, knowest thy servant. In verse 21, there is an acknowledgement of God's will. For thy word's sake and according to thine own heart. He's acknowledging God's will. Also in verse 21, there's an acknowledgement of God's revelation to David. To make thy servant know them. This is what God had done to David. He had revealed. And in verse 22, there's an acknowledgement of God's greatness. Wherefore, thou art great. And in verse 23, there's an acknowledgement of God's redemption. Notice verse 23. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself and to make him a name. So he acknowledges God's redemption. He's acknowledging God's grace in his life. There's an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. In verse 26 and verse 27, the Lord of hosts is acknowledging that God is God over all. And in verse 28, O Lord, thou art that God. Again, acknowledging the sovereignty of God. Also in verse 28, there's an acknowledgement of God's truthfulness and his goodness to him. Thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. And all of this was in a spirit of adoration for God. He said in verse 22, there is none like thee. There is no God beside thee. That is a spirit of adoration. He is adoring the Lord. So from all of that, we see that David's heart was a heart that was filled with God. And it is in that heart that prayer will be found. Prayer is not found in a heart that is void of God. Prayer is found in a heart that is filled with God. And we see here that David's heart was filled with praise. David's heart was filled with gratitude. And it's in that heart that you can expect to find prayer. We see, eighthly, there was a longing to do what God said. Verse 25, and now, O Lord God, the word thou hast spoken concerning thy servant, this referring to Nathan's message unto David, and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. David's plan, David's ideas, David's desire has been thwarted. And here is the spirit of David. Lord, you do as you have said. He simply wanted God to do what he said. And it's in that heart, that is a heart that is surrendered to the will of God, a heart that realizes that whatever God has determined is best, and whatever God has determined, David says, that's what I want. That's what I want. Even if it goes against my ideas and my plans and my desires, that's what I want. In that heart, prayer is found. Ninthly, there was a desire for God to be seen and glorified. In verse 26, and let thy name be magnified forever. Let thy name be magnified. He desired for God to be seen. He desired for God to be honored, for God to be admired, for God to be exalted and praised. And again, it is in that heart that you can expect to find prayer. And then lastly, there was simply a desire for the blessings of God. Notice verse 29. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it. And with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. David simply wanted whatever it was that God had for him. He didn't need what God had for somebody else. All he wanted was what God had for him. And it is in that heart that true prayer is found. So again, our text, thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. Prayer in the heart. Oh, that prayer would not merely be formed in our mouths. You don't have to sit in church too long and you can learn how to say a prayer. You don't have to sit too long to know that. And that is a danger. It is a danger when we pray that it just be a prayer formed in our lips. And we all know the difference. When we pray a prayer that was formed in our lips or in our mouths, and a prayer that was formed in the heart. Big difference. So all that our prayers would not just be formed in our mouths, but that we would be a people with prayer in the heart. A people with prayer in the heart. That is a result of God doing a work in our hearts. It is a people with a heart to pray. We need to have a heart to pray. And when we have a heart to pray, you just can't help yourself. You can't help but pray. You can't help but do what David did here in verse 18. Just sit before the Lord and talk to Him. What a blessing to be able to just sit before the Lord. What a blessing if God has given you a heart to sit before the Lord. And I do pray that God would give us a heart to sit before the Lord. A heart that would cause us to desire, I just want to sit in His presence. I just want to sit before Him. So all tonight for a heart in which prayer is found. That we would be a people of prayer. Not just prayer upon that proceeds from the mouth, but prayer that's in our heart. That we can, and again, sometimes that prayer cannot be uttered. You can't put it into words. But the Holy Spirit of God interprets our groanings. And He understands. And He knows what the cries and the groanings are saying. And the reason He knows is because He reads the heart. And that prayer proceeds from the heart. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us.